This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to the Wizarding World Lorecast. Join us as we take a deep dive into the lore of the fantastical world of the Harry Potter universe. Welcome, wizards and witches and wizards, to another episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. I am one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria, followed by my awesome co-host and friend, Nina.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
I had too much fun during pre-show with my voice changer.
Yeah, you kind of threw me off. Lost your...
It's like, what are we doing today?
You should have heard me. You
should have heard me in my last show because I almost said the wrong outro.
Oh no!
It's like, wait, that's not it. But we are back this week, going over more shops and locations in Hogsmeade or Diagon Alley. This week is specifically all in Hogsmeade, which is we're going over Honey Dukes in the Hog's Head Inn.
I'm really excited for all the candies.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited to go down to the Wizarding World to go to Honey Dukes. Because, you know, I'm definitely going to be buying a lot of sweets. It's going to be great.
I've been to one real candy store, Muggle World, and I spent like almost $100 already. So I could just imagine going, oh yeah, no, my husband has a huge candy sweet tooth. He just loves his candy. So I took him there for a surprise and we spent quite a bit of money. Got a lot of candy, tell you
nice.
What. But yeah, it's definitely worth the dollars.
I do know that Honey Dukes down at the Wizarding World in Florida have keepsake items. So you can have a keepsake chocolate frog and Bertie Bott's box to where you don't have to throw them away.
Ooh. I'm trying to put a bug in his ear to go. I'm working on it.
Should. Hey, you're saying go when I go. You could do a live show.
That would be
that
awesome.
That would be epic, right?
That
oh
would
my
be
gosh.
So fun. Yes.
But let's kick things off here. So we are going over Honey Dukes first. Honey Dukes was a Wizarding World sweet shop located on High Street in all Wizarding Village of Hogsmeade. It was established in 1641 and was owned by Ambrosius Flume and his wife. And it was filled with shelves upon shelves of the most succulent looking sweets imaginable. And let me tell you, Bertie Bott's every flavor beans, not bad, unless you get some really nasty flavors. I did mistaken lime with grass and ate grass. And what's really crazy, and so for anybody who hasn't had Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans, let me tell you for one, during the holidays, during like around Christmas and the holidays and everything, November, December area, Walgreens, your local Walgreens will carry Harry Potter merch. Yeah. And that also includes candy. So they have chocolate frogs and Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans. The chocolate frogs do, in fact, go with the Wizarding cards, which is super cool. I do have a few. And then Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans, just like in the name. Those beans actually have synthetic distilled flavoring of said item that they are flavored after. So when I ate grass, it literally tastes like grass. And don't ask me why I knew what grass tastes like.
All right, but when you mow, you can kind of know what grass tastes like.
Yeah, you can smell it.
You get it.
You can smell it, and you can kind of already know, this tastes nasty. Yes, it does.
Yes. I think the one in Bertie's box that I don't like that's not, like, weird, but it is to me, is the popcorn one.
Yeah, that one's weird. Unless you get vomit. Vomit's disgusting.
Which, how do they do artificial distilled vomit?
I don't want to know. That's the thing. I don't want to know how they get the flavorings for this stuff. It's just they do, and they taste exactly like what they're said, and it's terrifying. It's like, so this is what we can come up with?
This is the pinnacle of man and science.
We make fantasy styled candy real.
We're living our best lives.
Earwax is also a flavor. Too. That's a legitimate flavor. No, they have to have earwax because it was said in the film and in the book.
Correct.
So they have to have that there. But yeah, I don't want to know. I never had that one, and I don't want to know.
And he was just so undisturbed about it. He's like, oh, earwax. And I was like, okay, it's just normal.
Great. But anyway, in addition to the standard Wizarding candy that was sold there, the owner also made their own fudge and chocolate. For obvious reasons, the shop was quite a popular destination for Hogwarts students when visiting Hogsmeade on the weekends and during the Christmas season. One could barely move due to the crowd of visitors. Which is true. I mean, we see this in the films. We hear about it in the books. It's constantly packed.
Yes. And I could just imagine that having magic would help so much, because when you're making chocolates and fudge and candies, there's a lot of stirring and there's a lot of precision when it comes to like temperatures and stuff and how you're doing it, that having like just amplified magic creating these things got to be really helpful. So I bet you it's just this guy and his wife.
Right. And
doing everything.
Kay Allen, I know I see your comment, your last comment there. Do look that up, because there is like some sort of experimental research that's going on that we could actually possibly almost cure that. Like 99%.
Well, now you've got me peaked. I might just have to look into it after we're done.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a little sad. I saw it on TikTok and whatnot. And no, I'm not going to talk about what's going on with that. But there was a video I saw where there's research of them experimenting with specific like microwaves that doesn't do any harm to the body, and it specifically targets cancer cells and kills 99% of cells.
I did hear about that.
It's still an experimental stage, but like that right there is a game changer.
It absolutely is. Heck yeah, look at them.
But like I said, who knows if like, or I mean, we've been trying to cure cancer for, you know, God knows how, since we found out about it.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? But anyway, enough of real life stuff, because that's what we're not here. We're not here for that.
Let's talk more about fun candy.
Exactly. So, with the history of Honeydukes, so the shop was run by Patrick Redding and his daughter Olivia in the 1890s. By 1993, it was run by Emberus Flume, a rather large bald man with his wife, who watched over the shop and went to the cellar to retrieve the sweets on the main shop was running out of.
Hmm.
And yeah, we do get to go to Honeydukes in Hogwarts Legacy, which is great. Fortunately, you cannot buy anything, but there are manuscript pages for your ledger to learn about stuff in the wizard world. So there's at least that. And there's also the One Eye Witch passage you can go through. You can go through that.
Yes, you can't
forget
about her. Mm-hmm.
So Honeydukes was also housed to the entrance of a secret passage from Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry directly into the cellar of the sweet shop. However, it was advisable only to use to go from Hogwarts Castle to Honeydukes and not the other way around, due to the presence of a stone slide at the Hogwarts end.
Hmm.
So you only go from Hogwarts to Honeydukes, but you can't go Honeydukes to Hogwarts because you go down a slide.
I mean, that's a good way of kind of keeping people out that you don't want in there. They know about it,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Gunhilda of the Gorsemore corridor of the third floor of Hogwarts Castle, one could find a large stone statue of Gunhilda by tapping the back of the statue and the one's wand and incite Decinium. The one would open up a secret passage of the statue's hunchback, leading down a short cool stone slide. They would even land in a very low, very narrow earthy passageway that twisted like a rabbit's burrow, rising after an hour or so and reach a large, worn stone staircase. After 10 minutes, a steep ascent, and there would be 200 steps of staircase that those climbing would be usually be surprised, and when they hit their head, cold trap door. This trap door led into the cellar of Honeydukes and matched the dusty floor perfectly.
A lot of steps.
Yeah, that is a lot of steps. And I mean, there's other, like, you do go through a narrow passage, at least in, but this is during Harry's time with the narrow and everything. During our time in Hogwarts Legacy, it's a little bit more opened. It's still narrow. Mm-hmm. It goes narrow and then it opens to a wider passage. And then you go through like an elevator lift kind of thing, if I recall.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. No, I don't remember that.
The cellar of the shop was a full wooden crates and boxes, very dusty floor, and a wooden staircase leading up to the main shop. In the cellar, one could hear the opening and shutting of the smoothie shop door, and as well as the tinkering of bell above it. Honeydukes maintained the supplied the Honeydukes Express, a large food trolley which sold sweets and the staff of students riding the Hogwarts Express. It was driven about, and candies were dispensed by a kind, wizened old lady. Which, you know, we see this old lady throughout the times in the films, the books.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Harry kind of gloats like, hey, I'm rich, and hands her a freaking handful of galleons.
She's like, we'll take the trolley.
And it's like, what?
Okay. Suppose so.
Yeah. So in 1890, a new student at Hogwarts stole dried Billywig sings out of Honeydukes cellar for Gareth Weasley, which is mm-hmm. where we have this interaction in Hogwarts Legacy. This is the only time where you can use the One Eye Witch passage. Once you do the side quest, you can use it going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's interesting because Gareth loves making new Butterbeer concoctions because that's what he likes to do.
I mean, he might be a brewmaster when he graduates.
Maybe. He's also a Weasley.
Okay. I mean, dream big.
Fair point. During the calamity in the 2010s, volunteer members of the Cetra Secrecy Task Force were able to make visits to Honeydukes with the uses of portkeys. On these visits, they were tasked with collecting Raxperts seen throughout the shop. In December 2010, Honeydukes was broken into by a thief one night who didn't steal anything but trampled on everything in there. Burrius Flume happened to be at the shop at the time that there was hit... And was hit on the head. Yeah, that's it.
A wax sprout is an invisible magical creature which floats into a person's ears, making their brain become unfocused and confused. So they just live in your head, like right when you wake up in the morning and you just don't know what's going on. That's my headcanon. Yeah, they're...
Lovely. This is also coming from the Wizards Unite game that came out in the 2010s.
True, but Luna Lovegood was the one who did mention it to Neville on the train.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yep, in 96, towards the one of the last books. It's just briefly mentioned.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a list of products that Honeydukes does sell, and... If you go to the Wizarding World in Florida, you can definitely get some of these, too. So we have Acid Pops, Bat's Blood Soup, Birdie Bot's Every Flavor Beans, Blood-Flavored Lollipops. Obviously, the Bat's Blood Soup and Blood-Flavored Lollipops are more for the vampires around the Wizarding World.
Yeah.
Unless you like drinking blood and like the taste of blood.
I was going to make a comment, but I'm just going to keep it to myself. Family friendly and all.
Cauldron Cakes. Charm Chalk. Cheering Cherry Tart. Choco Balls. Chocolate Cauldrons. Chocolate Frogs. Chocolate Skeletons. Chocolate Wands, which you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Choco Loco. Cockroach Clusters, which you can also buy.
Yes, if you're really feeling adventurous.
Crystallized pineapple.
Sounds amazing. I'm just going to put that out there.
Sure.
You don't like pineapple?
No.
Oh, well, then you're missing out.
Dribble's Best Blowing Gum.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant on a Bicycle. Exploding Bonbons.
Mm.
Fizzing Fizzbees. Fudge Flies. Glacier Snowflakes. Honeydukes Best Chocolate. Honeydukes Mice Pops. Ice Mice. Jelly Slugs. Lima's Crazy Blob Drops. Licorice Wands. No Melt Ice Cream. Nougat Chunks. pepper imps, peppermint toad, pink coconut ice, pixie puffs, pumpkin fizz, pumpkin pasties, saltwater taffy, choco chalk, skeletal treats, Spindle's licorice spiders, sugar quills, sugared butterfly wings, toffees, tooth flossing spring mints, tooth splittering strong mints, treacle fudge, and Wizzo chalk. There's a lot.
I have so many questions, but I feel like I'm going to take up like 15 minutes. It's just so many.
No, Kaelin, Nina's not a vampire.
All right, I will have to say my comment later when we're not on.
If anybody doesn't know, blood tastes like iron, which is metal, and no.
Yeah. Like licking a penny. Don't do that.
Don't do that anyway.
Sorry. Don't do that. That's just bad advice.
That's just gross. Though granted, I mean, most of us as kids probably would have done something like that.
It's true. It is very true. But you know, there are some pretty wild different candies in here. Like the chocolate skeletons and the skeletal sweets. I'm just imagining little skeleton guys, like a gummy one, or
oh my god, what
like
if they
sour
moved?
One and yeah, and they kind of dance in their box, and they're doing that bone dance where you learn the bones or whatever. That's all I can see.
Oh my god, that's great. And then we do have behind the scenes. So the 2-disc DVD edition of the film adaptation, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, includes an interactive tour of Honeydukes, featuring the main shop area as well as the cellar and the entrance of Hogwarts, the secret tunnel. The tour includes exclusive footage of Fred and George Weasley wandering about the place and ultimately accessing the secret tunnel. There's a recreation of Honeydukes in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which we were going over throughout, and Alfonso Cuarón included some Mexican elements in Honeydukes, such as chocolate skeletons.
Yes. I'm glad that you introduced those. Also, I had that DVD growing up, and I remember doing or checking out the tour of Honeydukes, the interactive one. Those DVDs that they had for those movies were so cool. Like, some of the things that they just had in it. It was just crazy growing up thinking that DVDs could have these kinds of things in it for you to interact with.
Right. And then Alfonso Cuarón was the director of the film Prisoner of Azkaban. One of the directors. I think they had multiple directors on the films.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's what we have on Honeydukes. So before we get into Hogshead Inn, we are going to take a quick mid break and be right back. All right, now that we're in the mid break, we talk about everything with the show that has nothing to do with the lore of the Wizarding World. Here, we want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you so much supporting the show. And if you want to support the show, there's a few options you can do so. You can go to patreon.com/ Wizarding World Lorecast, where you can get ad-free episodes or join us once a month on the show itself. You can also find us on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star review on Apple or leave a nice comment on Spotify. We read that out loud next time on the show, which we do have a new Spotify comment on last week's episode from Aldie Poulton saying hi. Well, hello
hi.
To you too.
Thanks for the comment.
Thanks for the comment.
Nice to meet your acquaintance.
And definitely thank you for listening to the show.
Yes.
Other than that, you can find us on a few different Discord servers, the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord server, the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord, where you can find this show as well as the other shows that I host. Those links are in the description below in the show. That's it. Oh, and you can find us live How could I forget this? You can find us live 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/BenofTamaria, where I am now affiliate. So go watch us live, be in the awesome comments with all the awesome people listening to this show live, and subscribe, because every little bit helps. So, yeah. Anything else to add?
Leave a Spotify review and let us know which candy you would want to taste.
Ooh, yes. Leave a comment, or in our Discord, let us know what you would want to have.
Yes, or if you would like to know any more of them, we'd be happy to post some pictures and information in Discord about what they are.
Yeah, just like in our chat right now, in our Twitch chat, Kay Allen likes Blood Pops.
Yeah, for good reason.
And if you can't tell, I'm totally kidding. But with that being said, let's get back into more of the show. All right, we are now back, and now we have the Hog's Head Inn. So, the Hog's Head was a slightly disreputable inn and pub in the all-wizard village of Hogsmeade. It was located in 1-2 streets off the High Street, and Hog's Head Inn was a fixture of Hogsmeade for several years. The inn was owned and operated by Aberforth Dumbledore in the 1990s. Earlier in the 1890s, it was operated by Jasper Trout. Which, again, we go to Hog's Head Inn in Hogwarts Legacy, specifically to get more
painting,
side quests, main quests, and mm-hmm. even some notes for your ledger or notebook or whatever. I can't remember. It's a notebook, right? Or is that what they call it?
The travel guide?
Travel guide.
Yes.
That. Yeah. I couldn't remember what it was mm-hmm. for some reason. a worn-out wooden sign hung over the door, advertising with a wild boar's severed head, leaking blood into the white cloth around it. It was known as the cheapest, or relative to the three broomsticks down the street, and according to Albus Dumbledore, attracted an interesting clientele.
That's how they made their blood lollipops.
Oh, God. From hogs? Oh, God. Oh, no.
I was hoping you're going to bite on that one.
And according to Hermione Granger, in Sites of Historical Sorcery, it is mentioned that an inn in Hogsmeade served as a human headquarters for the 1612 Goblin Rebellion. It was unknown if the inn mentioned in the book was the Hog's Head Inn. So we do have a bit of a description of the inn. So on the outside of the tavern, there was a door. There was a dock which gave access to the river. It was noted as a peaceful place to sit and relax, if one could ignore the dodgy dealings in the pub next to them. There is also a sign with the hog's head written on it, featuring the head of a hog.
Pretty basic.
Pretty basic, yeah.
Pretty low tavern. If you're going to choose a tavern and you just don't have a lot of money, that's going to be the one that you're choosing.
Yep. So inside the tavern... So the bar of the Hog's Head was small and extraordinarily dirty and screwed with sawdust, with the windows nearly opaque, and the floor of all invisible beneath the dirt. There was an ancient wooden till behind the bar that served as a cash register, and the entire room smelled strongly of something that might have been goats. Even the rags behind the bar seemed filthy at one point. As Aberforth Dumbledore continued to wipe a glass, Harry Potter noted it seemed to be getting dirtier. Yeah.
The more you talk about this place, the more I love it. It just smelled like goats. There was a farm, and then right. He's trying so hard to clean this glass, and just life is just tearing him down.
Yep, exactly. So above the bar was a mounted head of a boar, which were presumably enchanted so it could seem alive. It was quite fearsome look, with four tusks, one of which was broken, the scar over its left eye. It was a large amount of drool dripping from its mouth, and all the times it was often rolled its eyes and snorted at patrons. Behind the bar was a rickety wooden staircase leading to the sitting room, where most likely an open area between guest rooms with a fireplace and curtained window looking down to the street. The guest rooms themselves were located above the bar, and like the bar itself, were not noted to be especially clean. Sybil Trelawney was an example, warned Harry against bedbugs.
Oof.
Yeah.
Can't even get rid of bed bugs in the magical world.
No, they can. It's just they don't care.
Ah. Uh-huh. All right, that's even worse.
Right. That's how bad the Hogshead Inn is. Not good reputation. Above the fireplace in the upstairs sitting room was a portrait of Arena Dumbledore. Through the portrait was a secret passage leading to the room requirement in Hogwarts. The passage opened up when Neville Longbottom began living in the room by spring of 1998.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter of 1932, a sign was put above the window, still the main front door, with the label open or closed. It was made of dark wood and a chalkboard to draw on. Mm. Yeah.
Fancy chalkboard.
And yes, Kay Allen says in chat, must be a place for friends with in low places.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely would be. Mm-hmm.
No, bedbugs aren't dangerous inherently, but they're still bad.
They're dangerous to my psyche.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're dangerous to your mental state. Don't
absolutely
have them. So now we do get into the reputation of the Hogshead Inn. So the Hogshead was known for being a kind of disrespectful establishment that was shady type of frequent. Due to the shadiness of this place, it was somewhat of a sense of fashion for the customers to keep their faces hidden. And Aberforth never had a large number of customers and said at once during the recruiting meeting of Dumbledore's army. Mundungus Fletcher was banned from the Hogshead for life for some years ago for an unspecified offense. However, it was assumed that it was being used as a place of venue for his dealing in questionable and stolen merchandise. Flitius Fetler confirmed to Hermione Granger that students were permitted to pay patrons to the Hogshead, though he strongly advised to bring her own cup, as Aberforth would be cleaning the cup with a rather dirty rag, only making it more dirty. The owner was also rather not fond of large amounts of customers, as he looked irritated when about 28 students came to visit for the morning. Yeah.
Customer Great. Service is top notch. And we were talking about retail earlier, too. Like, he's got
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. And then despite being as a rundown and visibly unappearing avenue, it has been a place of fair share of remarkable events, including the making of Harry Potter's prophecy, the revelation of how to get the Philosopher's Stone, and the first gathering of Dumbledore's army, the supplying rebels against Darth Eaters at Hogwarts food and drink in their hideout. It was also none other than the waiting room of Mulcahy, Roser, Dolohov, and Knott when Tom Riddle came to Hogsmeade requesting a secure post with Headmaster Dumbledore.
Hmm.
A sign hung in the Hogshead declaring that the stall of unicorn blood or sale of unicorn blood was forbidden and the warning customers not to ask about it.
Even they have rules. They have limitations.
Don't kill unicorns. Don't drink their blood because then you're forever cursed even if you live longer.
Correct.
Don't
it's
do
not
it.
A fun time. Don't. No. They're just don't a vision it. Of innocence and just don't touch them.
I'm not even going to comment on what Kevin just said in the chat. Not at all. So, now we have the history of the Hogshead. So, in the 17th century, in the aftermath of the Goblin Rebellion of 1612, a horn was used during the rebellion was discovered behind the building with a wedge of Gorgonzola stuffed inside to mute it.
Hmm.
That's it. It's in the 17th century. That's all we know.
All right. It's good. Cheese saves the day, I guess.
Absolutely. Cheese is great.
Cheese is the best.
Found out I cannot eat cheese before recording sessions going forward. Or any dairy. Dairy's not good for recording sessions.
Well, you have to explain that one to me.
It's due to the mucus. Creates more mucus in your throat.
You're just a fountain of knowledge today with all the
right?
things you're giving
with
me.
With all the learning stuff, the stuff yes. I'm learning, it's freaking awesome. I was like, oh my god, I never knew that. I don't normally eat or drink dairy regardless all that much unless I'm like actually eating lunch.
Right. That's crazy.
Well, and that too, Kevin, that is actually the other point too. You don't want that. Because if you're in someone else's recording booth, you don't want that. If you're in your own recording booth at home, it don't matter.
This is true. You just hang out.
But it's also just, it clips, makes more mucus. But anyway, enough of my side tangent there. We have the 19th century. So at one point, it was owned by Jasper Trout during the 1890-1891 school year, which while drinking at the inn, Loggok, who approached by a new student, Hogwarts student, was asked for his assistance in defeating Ranrock. Loggok agreed to the associate with the student and left the pub, led him to retrieve the helmet of Urknot. The same student later had the opportunity to hang the portrait of Ferdinand Octavius Pratt at the Hogshead Inn instead of the Three Broomsticks, if they so choose, after receiving the painting, in which case Jasper commented the portrait was useful for target practice, whereas Ferdinand would constantly complain about the establishment's smell.
Exactly where I put his painting. I did not like him at all.
I think I put him back in the Three Broomsticks. I don't think I put him in the Hogshead.
I didn't like the way he talked to me.
That's fair. That's understandable. I was being the Gryffindor me that I am, I'm a goody two shoes, and I just put him back in his rightful place.
Following the rules.
Yeah. Unless you
don't insult me, and you won't become target practice for people in the Hogshead.
Right.
Yes.
So in 1932, Newton's commander and his brother, Theseus. Traveled to Hogshead to visit Aberforth Dumbledore, looking for Albus Dumbledore. Aberforth told him that that was his brother, and Albus came and told Theseus about how he needed to trust him for the fullest amount, or else everything would become undone. They moved towards a nearby window, and Albus showed Theseus his blood pact. Sometime after meeting with Newt and Theseus, Albus Dumbledore went to upstairs sitting room and looked at the blood pact with blood scars on his arm. At one point, Aberforth wrote "closed" on a sign in the front window of the inn while he and Albus had their sister's favorite soup in the main room. While Albus Dumbledore was getting ready to put on his jacket, Aberforth Dumbledore shared how his brother was once again leaving to save the world against Grout Grindelwald.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much differences between those two.
Yes.
Dumbledore and Aberforth, I mean.
Yeah, there is a huge difference. Yeah.
So now we do have, in 1979, Albus Dumbledore, headmaster of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, traveled to the Hogshead to interview an applicant for the post of divination professor, Sybil Trelawney. It was in the Hogshead that Trelawney made one of the only two known actual prophecies, this one made to Albus Dumbledore himself about the Dark Lord in Harry Potter. As it isn't transcribed, a Death Eater spy revealed to be Severus Snape was listening at the door in private room where Trelawney and Dumbledore were having their meeting. Snape was thrown out of the building before he could hear the whole prophecy. However, he did not hear enough to make the Dark Lord attack and kill Harry Potter's parents and attempt to kill Harry when the information was conveyed to him.
Yes.
So, this is where Trelawney makes the prophecy.
Mm-hmm. And Snape relays half of the information to Voldemort.
Yep. And if he got the other half, it would have been two different childs. That would be his downfall, not just one.
Mm-hmm. Nice backup plan.
Absolutely. So now Rubus Hagrid also was known to frequent the Hogshead. It was here that he allowed a hooded stranger to purchase him a series of drinks and intoxicated Hagrid enough to make him slip how to get past Fluffy, Hagrid's pet three-headed dog. During the same encounter, Hagrid played and won a game of cards, earning him a prize in the form of a Norwegian Richback dragon egg. Which we now know that hooded figure was Quirrell.
Yeah. It's not as fun. He's not as fun to think as a dastardly villain.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now we get to Dumbledore's army. So it was the inn's infamously shady reputation that made Hermione Granger pick the Hogshead for their first meeting place for Dumbledore's army in their detriment. Mundungus Fletcher, disguised as a witch, wearing a thick black veil and that fell on to his toes, was spying on the proceedings under the orders of Albus Dumbledore, while Wittershins, who was heavily wrapped in bandages, overheard the group planning their defense lessons and reported it to Dolores Umbridge and Cornelius Fudge. Yeah, I don't like her.
I'm still stuck on that man's last name, Wittershins.
Wittershins.
No, that's a dastardly villain.
God, I love
that. That's so much fun. The meeting was also particular in the end's normally quiet nature, and even Abathorth was apparently listening in on the meeting, though it was also a member of the Order of the Phoenix. Hermione had thought out the meeting in such a secluded and disreputable place that would lessen their chances of meeting anyone who would give them up. However, Sirius Black would later point out that having their first meeting place in such a quiet place was rather unwise, and suggested that the Three Broomsticks Inn would probably be a wiser choice for their first meeting. It was in this meeting that the Foundation Dumbledore's Army was made, and each member attending signed their name on a piece of parchment to bid their loyalty. Fun fact, that parchment, if you expose the Dumbledore's Army, you were also cursed.
Yes. Hermione wasn't messing around.
No, she was not.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's funny how in the... So, I've seen videos of, like, book Hermione versus movie Hermione. And where movie Hermione is like, oh, we have to go by the rules. We have to do this. We have to do that. And then you get to the book Hermione is like, I don't care. Whoever attacks us is going down, or whoever betrays us, I don't care what happens to them. She literally freaking kidnapped Reader Skeeter when she was in her Animagus form in a jar.
Oh, yeah, she's savage. There's no messing around.
And she's like, let me see if I can shake this thing and see what happens. You want to kill her?
I know. Between her and McGonagall, I don't know who I'd want to upset more, less. Like,
I do not want to see McGonagall mad.
Mm-mm.
That scares me. No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So, now we get to the Second Wizard of War. So, for the first 2 weeks of the Battle of Hogwarts, there was a tunnel connecting the Hogshead to the room requirement at Hogwarts. The opening of the tunnel was hidden behind a picture of Arion Dumbledore. The tunnel was used to as a means to allow people from the outside world into the room requirement, which was acting as a safe haven for a reformed Dumbledore's army. This was destroyed by Dumbledore's grandmother, Augusta Longbottom, once everyone was through and no one else could use it. The inn was also used by Death Eaters to traffic potions and poisons, as said by Abathorth.
Oh.
And then we now have Finding Harold. So this is, I think this is during the play. No. This is not during the play. This is during, Hogwarts Mystery. Magic Awakened. Mm-hmm. That mobile game. It's going through this.
Okay.
So during 2009-2010 school year, a group of students searching the mysterious map went to the Hogshead Inn through the secret tunnel from Hogwarts to Hogsmeade to find the portrait of Harold, who knew the map was back at Hogwarts Castle, to told it to them. Ludi Turner, Cassie Devlin, and Charm were there to duplicate the portrait so the people wouldn't notice that the real portrait of Harold was returned to the castle. In the end, the students also noticed that their history and magic professor, Jacob Gorski, trading with a dark wizard, Headmistress McGonagall eventually found the students and sent them back to school.
Yeah.
And then, a little bit behind the scenes, a hogshead is a measurement of an alcoholic beverage such as beer or wine that measures 240 liters.
Approximately
240 liters.
Mm-hmm.
And in Lego Harry Potter years 5-7, Abathorth Dumbledore has a picture of him and his brother Albus Dumbledore hanging on the wall, unlike in the book and the film where there's no pictures of Albus anywhere in the pub.
It's a Lego game. They get it. You get a pass.
it's a Lego game. They keep it friendly family. That family so friendly.
Yeah, it's so cute.
So yeah,
that's what we have. Well, I was about to use my voice changer again, but I didn't.
No, it caught a bit of it.
But yeah, that's what we have on the Hog's Head and Honeydukes.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of cool stuff. I'm excited to go down to Wizarding World this year to experience Honeydukes for the first time in 10 years. So ooh. I'm super pumped for that. I'm pretty sure they don't have Hog's Head.
I can't imagine it would be very touristy if it's dirty and they just have dirty glasses.
Right. Mm-hmm. They might have it like part of the street or like down like a passage or a alley, but mm-hmm. something you might not be able to go into.
It'd be really cool to have the boar head on the outside of the door, huffing and puffing, grunting that at people would be who hilarious. Walk by. That'd be a lot of fun. Yes.
You're welcome, Kay Allen, about ordering candy, because it's
get
great.
More candies.
If you want, you can go to, I think it's called harrypottershop.com. It's a legitimate website. All Harry Potter official merch. It's a store in New York City. Mm. They have Honeydukes-related items and candies, including butterbeer.
Oh, sweet.
Bottled butterbeer.
Oh.
And keepsakes. They have keepsakes.
I got a recipe
frogs.
To make butter beer. So I'm
I
ready.
Do too. It's not bad, actually. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I'm ready
but
to try it.
I'm excited to go down to the Wizarding World to drink legitimate butter beer because I can't wait. And I can have it frozen. I can have it hot. I can have it cold. There's so many different ways. Alcoholic, non-alcoholic. It's all over the place.
Having it as like a slush? I don't know.
It's good. I had it the first time I went to Wizarding World in 2013. Mm-hmm. Having and it was the not they didn't have the alcohol versions then. But having frozen butter beer was great. As a slushy.
That's
it was
interesting.
Great. It was good.
That's a fun concept.
So but yeah, if we don't have anything else to add, that's all we have for this week's episode.
Yes.
Oh, just... also before we go. We have the Quizner World. Duh.
There you go.
I almost forgot about that. How did I almost forget about that?
How dare.
I know, right? I'm going to get yelled at.
You're going to be the shady friend that we're finding in the hogs. Hog's Head. Jeez. Okay. So last week's question was hard. And
oh, absolutely it was because I had no idea what it was.
It was really hard. The question last week and the whole like the important part is it's in the book. This is in the book. In the book, the Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone, whichever one you prefer. What are the few words that Dumbledore says to start the feast? So I got feedback on this one and they were just fun
feedback.
Feedbacks.
It's fun.
Yes.
Feedback.
I'm going to say them anyway because they had me laughing. Puntato Star said, "May the feast begin," which, I mean, that's pretty.
I think he said that in the film.
I think he might
have. Or something similar in the film.
Mm-hmm. He could have. Kay Allen said, "We have the meats," which I'm all about that. Meats and potatoes. But Steve-O said, "Nitwit blubber." Now, you're close, but you're missing two more. So he says four words, and they're all explanated, and it's nitwit, blubber, oddment, tweak, is what Dumbledore says in the book before the feast begins. I said this one was hard, and we were having some pretty easy ones, so I thought I needed to really throw everybody off there, so that was just me having a little bit of fun. This week, though, I do have one, and it kind of has to do with sweets. Since we were talking about candies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But when Hagrid finally finds Harry on his 11th birthday, he brings a birthday cake. Though he might have sat on it a bit. How many candles are on the cake?
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. So again, when Hagrid finally finds Harry on his 11th birthday, he brings him a birthday cake. Though he might have sat on it a bit. How many candles are on the cake? So let me know on that one. Also,
this is, I think, a movie question.
Also, speaking of that, there is, and I know this is like a big controversy within the Wizarding World fan group, about the frosting that he uses on the cake. That's just a little fun thing. If you might know what that is, shoot us a Spotify comment in the Discord. Let me know if you know what I'm referencing. But there is a bit of a fun thing about the frosting on the cake. Not really fun. It's kind of like it upset quite a few people. Anyway. But yeah, let me know. It's not bad. It's just it's more, I feel like it's more or less people being upset because it wasn't a certain way. And that's all I'm gonna say.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, let me know how many candles are on that cake. Shoot me a message on Discord, in Spotify, iTunes, however you want to reach us. But that's all I got for my Quizzing World fun for today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. And remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard. Thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can find us on the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. You can also find us on Twitter at www.lorecast and even email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.